Folks, as nuts as it seems, two Saturdays left in the college football regular season, conference title games, and bowl announcements. And who better to have on than our usual Wednesday leadoff man? Find his work these days for USA Today in the actual paper or online at usatoday.com. Follow on Twitter. The handle is at George Schroeder. A good day to you, George. How are things?
Hey, life is good. How are you?
Great. Let's start with the speculation game. When jobs open up, depending on the year, there's just a go-to list. I mean, they're still kicking around John Gruden and, of course, Chip Kelly. A guy called me yesterday and says he's got a Florida connection. It's a done deal, and I just laughed. But out of coaching now, five full seasons on the logic scale, Chip Kelly to Florida makes how much sense to you?
Well, it makes a decent amount of sense. He's an available guy who would like to get back into coaching, probably going to be in college is where the opportunity is going to be. And, you know, I think he's the biggest name on the board. There's no question. So, you know, here's the thing, though. And, you know, there's two pieces of that. Does Chip Kelly want to go to Florida? And does Florida want Chip Kelly? And to be quite honest, I think that, you know, there's some question with some athletic directors as to whether or not they want to bring Chip Kelly aboard because of the NCAA issues. Now, I think Florida is probably over that at this point. And look, the show cause order expired, right?
Right, so yes, sir.
Everything's fine with Chip Kelly there on that front. But you still have to take him as an athletic director to your president. And most of the time, I don't think it's going to be an issue. But it's at least an issue. And then on the other end, what does Chip Kelly want to do? What does he want to do? Does he want to go to Florida? It's the biggest and best job on the board now. It's the biggest and best job probably that's going to open up, unless something we don't expect to open up opens up. And it's not quite as big a media bubble as you would think it is. For example, the Tennessee pressure cauldron is actually worse probably than the Florida one.
Sure.
So maybe it makes some sense for him. They'd love to have an offensive genius. We all think he's very innovative in that way. But is the cart way, 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 way ahead of the horse with some of the fan site reporting out of Florida? Absolutely, I think it is. Could he end up the Florida coach? I think he could. I don't have anything that says it's imminent at this point.
All right, yeah, and Steve Spurrier went on today and said their next coach is coaching and will be coaching in a bowl game, but we'll see how it plays out.
Well, that's interesting. I did not know he had said that. I've been busy with other stuff today, but look, this is – The coaching carousel season also doubles as sort of a silly season just in terms of the rumors that go around. And sometimes they prove true, but it doesn't mean that they were nailed down facts when they were reported or as they were reported breathlessly as facts. And you know that as well as anybody else. We saw that last year when the Ducks went looking for coaches.
So you're telling me a fan site won't have lockdown information about
a
coaching hire?
No, but quite often they don't. Sometimes they do, but quite often they don't. And sometimes their sourcing standards aren't maybe as tight or as high, let's say, as some other places might be. But sometimes they got it dead right. So you have to take them seriously and try to run them down yourself if you're working on that story.
Right. That's what you do. You're a journalist. I'm an entertainer. That's why I have you on for good information.
Well, if you're during the coaching carousel season, can we trade places for a while?
You want to know something? I think I'm good here, George, but let's just say my decision is pending. Scott Frost, a bit of a different story. I mean, what he's done in Central Florida, and of course he's in the Sunshine State, but of course he's quarterback Nebraska to a national title. The pull of that red end might be appealing. So, and like I said, these are mostly gut feelings. You think he'll leave the Golden Knights after this season? And does Lincoln or Gainesville make sense? Or neither?
Let me say one thing. He's going to leave UCF as soon as the right job comes along. It's going to come along this year, almost certainly. He's a hot coaching name. They're undefeated, and whether they finish undefeated or not, you may not ever be as hot as you are right now when you're at a school like that, at a Group of Five school. Even in the American, even with the resources that among its peers UCF has, which are pretty cool, it's still not, you know, there are way better jobs out there in the Power Five. And so he's going to leave. Yes, I'm convinced of that, if he gets the right offer. Is it going to be Nebraska? I know that's a powerful pull, I think, for him. But frankly, if there wasn't the, I went to school at Nebraska, I'm from Nebraska, my family's at Nebraska, you wouldn't even be talking about Nebraska if Florida was in play. Hmm. You'd be taking the Florida job. I don't know what he would do if both were offered. I don't know what he would do. But it wouldn't stun me if he took the Florida job, because that's a top five, top ten job. The Nebraska job is not that anymore. 20 years ago it was, but it's not 20 years ago. That's a fringe top 25 job at this point. I'm not saying Scott couldn't make it something into more than what it is now, but it's not the kind of platform now where you can win the whole thing, at least not at this point, not what we've seen the last however many years.
Yeah, normally we say it's not your father's or it's not your grandfather's. It's not even Steve Tannen's Nebraska anymore.
That's right. Well, I mean, so Steve, here's the thing. If Scott Frost had gone to school at wherever else and was from, you know, Minnesota, we wouldn't even be talking about Nebraska versus Florida if they're both after him.
All right,
you know, that's the thing. This is only about the pull of home,
sure.
And I think that's routinely overdone by fans.
Again, we get that fan mentality in there, and sometimes we go askew. But talking college football with George Schroeder, so here's the scenario I concocted. Wisconsin loses to Michigan Saturday. Miami loses at Pitt a week from Saturday. Bama loses the Iron Bowl to Auburn. Central Florida beats Temple, South Florida, then Memphis in the AAC title game. They're the only unbeaten team at the FBS level. Would they have any chance of getting invited to the playoff?
Well, I think you probably need to have Oklahoma lose. You probably need to have Auburn go ahead and beat Georgia so that Georgia has two losses. Because, by the way, I think Alabama's going to end up in the playoff in those kind of crazy scenarios, even if it doesn't win the SEC West, if you keep having all these teams lose. I guess that's a long way of saying no.
Yeah.
So UCF's strength of schedule, its resume, is not going to equal the four teams, with whether they're unbeaten or not, that eventually get into the playoff. It's not the equal of the seven teams right now that have the either have the resume right now, or they will have it if they went out. The seven teams, the top seven teams, basically all control their own destiny if you look at the rankings.
Right. Well, it's rare I get a consensus.
Have those.
Yeah,
that resume.
Yeah, it's rare I get a consensus, but of the people who text, Twitter, callers, people I've spoken to, everybody has answered that question with no. Okay.
Look, it takes Steve, to get a group of five team in there, it takes a special deal. That's a year ago we were talking about Houston, right?
Yep.
And here's what they had. Now, the committee's only supposed to talk about what happened in 1 year, right? You have to have some street cred built up. So a year ago, you had Houston coming off a beating Florida State in a New Year's Six, I think it was a Peach Bowl, in a New Year's Six Bowl, right?
Yep.
And then they go and they beat Oklahoma in the season opener, an Oklahoma team that was ranked in the top five, and, you know, at least in September, clearly wasn't that good of a team. Maybe by the end of the year they were. Then Oklahoma, which then lost to Ohio State, wins the Big 12 at 10-2. So it's a really good win for Houston. And then if Houston had been able to run the table and beat Louisville, which I think they did do, but not blow it anywhere else, had they gone unbeaten, beating an Oklahoma team and a Louisville team, you might have had an outside shot at the four slot, maybe. But that's how you have to design it for a group of five team, even unbeaten, to get into the playoff. And everything has to align, both in sort of what your schedule was, who you beat, and then how those teams finished.
No, I see. And, you know, they also, by the way, they did beat Louisville, but, you know, they lost to SMU and Navy.
Right. No, they couldn't pull it off. But had they finished unbeaten, I don't think they get in. They would have needed a little chaos, but that's the kind of resume you have, even with chaos, to begin to talk about it. And UCF's resume isn't going to be that way, regardless of the chaos.
No, that makes sense. Let's move to Wisconsin. You know, it's November, unbeaten, but the Badgers are fifth. They host a ranked team in Michigan. So if you were to advise a distraught Badger fan who wants to know why they're fifth, like you said, wouldn't you tell them, don't sweat it. If you win out and win the big title game, you're in.
Yes, you don't have to worry about it at all. Listen, I'm of the opinion you didn't have to worry about it last week, going into last weekend, that if they finish 13-0, Big Ten champion, beating an Ohio State, they're in. I was of that opinion, okay? And that's before things shook loose a little bit and got a little bit easier. They're fifth right now. In front of them, there's a two teams ranked second and third are going to play in the ACC title game. And so one of them is going to get knocked out right there. That's all they have to have happen. Alabama could win out. Oklahoma could win out, 1-4, right?
Yep.
But either Clemson or Miami is going to lose. They can't both win, and that's going to knock one of them out. And so if Wisconsin wins out, I think they're in. I don't think that's an issue at all.
All righty. Well, the Wisconsin people in our audience and my daughter-in-law's family feel much better about things right
now.
So
you have Wisconsin people in your audience?
Yes, I do.
All right.
You get a connection here, not only Bay Area, but – Madison, Eugene, it's amazing. Like I said, my daughter-in-law's family is from there. She lives here now, and it's fascinating. I love it.
Well, Madison and Eugene have a lot of the same characteristics.
Yes.
Great college town.
No, I'm with
a little
you.
Indigo blue.
Nice. Now, you were at Oklahoma's win over TCU. They were ranked, the Horned Frogs were ranked sixth at the time. And, of course, OU's only lost by a TD to Iowa State, who's slipped up a little bit. But, you know, they won at Ohio State, at Oklahoma State. How impressive was their performance in that one against that's a really good TCU defense.
Well, it is. I mean, statistically, it was one of the very best, and they shredded it in the first half. And I say that in the first half because, really, up 38-14, they kind of pulled in the reins in the second half and just sort of managed the clock, which made a lot of sense. And they were able to do that because their defense actually played better, the Oklahoma defense. But it's a really good TCU defense. It was a better Oklahoma offense. And that's not typically how it goes, or at least that's not the paradigm that we like to think of when we think about winning championships. We talk about defense, and I still think that's certainly in play. Oklahoma's defense is suspect, but its offense is probably, I don't think it's probably, I think it's easily the most dangerous, most potent of any of these teams that are contenders.
Couple of final thoughts for George Schroeder, USA Today. So Georgia was one, now they're seven. They had that quality win against Notre Dame. Then they got pounded at Auburn. They scored first, then the Tigers scored 40 of the next 43. How surprised were you at just the lopsided nature of that game?
Yeah, I was really surprised. Look, I picked Auburn to win, and I'm not really sure that I have a great reason why, other than I thought Auburn was a little bit better than its record, and you know they're at home and that kind of thing. But I don't know that anybody expected it to be 40-17, and it was 40-10 with a minute and 40 seconds left. I don't think anybody expected it to be what it was. But what was amazing was just if you go inside the score, how much Auburn physically dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and especially with their defensive front against that rushing attack of Georgia, which had averaged almost 280, it was 279.6 yards a game, something like that, and they finished with 46 on 32 carries. There's some sack yardage in there, but not a lot, the way the college game statistically is set up. But that what is that? It's like 1.4 yards a carry or something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it's terrible. It was an amazing thing. Now, they're set up to potentially play again if Auburn can beat Alabama. I don't know that I'm ready to predict that yet. But if that were to happen, I don't think I would expect it to be like that again. But I'd make Auburn the favorite. That said, Georgia's got everything to play for right now, whether they play Auburn or Alabama, probably more likely Alabama in the SEC title game. All they got to do is win and they're in. It's the same deal.
Yep.
Auburn sixth at 11-2. All they would have to have done is win and they're in. Georgia at 12-1, if they won the title, they're in. That's 7. And then we already talked about, you know, Wisconsin at 5. That's why I say all 7 of the top 7 don't need any help. They just need to go win, and things will clear out in front of them. They'll be fine.
And lastly, along those lines, Miami 2 weeks ago had no quality win. Then they beat Virginia Tech, who was 13, and then, my God, what they did to Notre Dame. They were up 34-0 in that game. Their defense had 24 points off turnovers, a pick six. How high up the list of impressive wins is that for the Canes?
It's one of the most impressive wins of the season. I hadn't really considered how you would rank it. Probably Oklahoma's win at Ohio State, which was a blowout, you know, a late score made it a 15-point game, is probably the most impressive. But if you wanted to say no, I'm sorry, it's Auburn's at home over Georgia or Miami's at home over Notre Dame. I don't have a problem with either of those either. I think those are probably the three most impressive victories of the year. Maybe what Notre Dame did to USC. Those are probably the. Yep. That's probably how you would just put all those in a hat and pull out which one you want. But here's the deal about Miami. You're exactly right, Steve. Just, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 days ago, we were talking about how, yeah, they're unbeaten, but they just keep kind of squeaking by these mediocre teams, and the run's going to end at some point, and when are we going to see them play well? And then they, you know, handled Virginia Tech. Now, Virginia Tech went and lost to Georgia Tech, so that gets diminished a little bit, but they handled Virginia Tech. And then they just absolutely, you know, took the football away from my Notre Dame so many times and just blew out the Irish that, I mean, that it was just impressive is the least way to describe it. Here's the deal. I think Miami's offense is a work in progress. I'm not sure they're ready to play offense against some of the better defenses. That's why I think maybe I'd still pick Clemson when they meet in the ACC championship game. But its defense is really, really fast and really, really swaggering. And there's something intangible about a unit that becomes kind of a ball-hawking unit. And they seem to have that. I mean, it's several games in a row now that they've had a ton of turnovers.
Well, I'll tell you what, assuming Clemson doesn't slip up against South Carolina and Miami handles Pitt in Virginia, I am going to circle that ACC title game.
No question. I think I'm going to get to cover that one.
Nice.
And I've got to tell you, of all the title games, even though the SEC one looks like, you know, whichever West team is in it versus Georgia, that looks like a good game potentially, even though the Big 12 game could be interesting, even though obviously an Ohio State-Wisconsin matchup could be a lot of fun, and no offense, I'm not really excited about the Pac-12 game. It's not going to impact the playoff unless
right.
goofy things happen. But of all those four games, the other Power 5 conferences, the ACC is the one I'd most like to see. So I'm really hopeful I get to go do that.
Yeah, I think you will. Hey, George, great stuff as always. USAtoday.com on Twitter at George Schroeder. Enjoy the weekend and should be fun. Who knows what we'll have to talk about next week.
Yeah, no question. Thanks, Steve.
All right, take it easy, George.